Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 14. Didn't know where Brother Nick was going there for a minute. We're going to read verse 13 to 21. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into the desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, that they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, listen to this, and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and took, looking up to the heavens, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. Matthew 14, 16, Jesus replied, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." Now, how many have read that story before, heard that story before? You said, "I would give my fish, or I'd give my loaves, or I'd give my Doritos, or my taco, or whatever it was," right? You would give it, right? My title today is this: My talent or situation, give it to God. Now, I want you to think about that. You just said you would give your taco or your hamburger or whatever it was, you'd give it to God. But God wants your talent today, whatever it is. God wants whatever situation you're going through today, he wants you to give it to him. Can you trust your God to give it to him? Come on. Come on. Can you trust your God? You can be seated. Sorry about the light that's out. That's the first time one of these bulbs have blown in years. So if anybody feels spunky and they want to climb up there and fix that for me, I will bless you. Okay? Amen. With chili? Amen. We're going to baptize Brother Dave here in a little bit. In Jesus' name. If you haven't talked to Brother Dave, you need to talk to him after church. You need to get swap numbers and become good friends, because he needs a family of God. He's got it right here. Amen? Amen. Been my neighbor for years, didn't know it. But he used to come around the basketball hoop when it was out before a few times. So, when you read this story, folks, you think, you've got to be kidding, Jesus. There's 5,000 people here. Think about those disciples. 5,000 men. Not counting the women and children. So there could have been 10, 15,000 people there. Jesus said, "They don't have to go away. You feed them." Are you kidding me? Does that sound like anyone you know? Would you have said that to God? Huh? Come on, let's be honest here today. You want me to do what, God? What's God been asking you to do lately? Are you kidding me, God? See, we can look at these disciples, and we can be critical of them sometimes, can't we? But when God asks us to do simple things like maybe talk to a person or give a Bible study to somebody or do clean the church or do whatever it is God asks, are you kidding me, God? Don't you know all the things I've got to do? No way could I ever do that, God. Why are you asking me? there's anybody in the church could give a Bible study. The disciples say, if we only have five loaves and two fishes, God. And that's what Matthew 14:18 says, bring them to me. See, Jesus wouldn't ask you if he didn't think you could do it. He wouldn't ask the disciples to feed them if he didn't think they could do it. Come on, folks. You get quiet on me here. I'm telling you, God knows it. Because he said, the scripture says you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So God knows it can be done. He just wants somebody to say, give me your talent. He just wants somebody to say, give me your situation that's holding you back. Come on, I'll use whatever you give me. God, there's over 5,000 people here. Jesus said he directed the people to sit down on the grass. And the important thing is here, folks, the disciples did what they were asked and gave him the fish and the loaves. And when God tells us to do something, it might take you by surprise. You might even say, you've got to be kidding. But know this, folks, if you give God what you have, even though you think it might not be very much, amen, he'll bless it. You think it might not be enough, let God have it anyways. God is going to take it, and you'll be surprised to see what he can do if you give it back to him. Matthew 14:19-20 said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate, listen to this, and were satisfied. Come on, we like to eat until we're satisfied, or sometimes oversatisfied. The disciples were just people like you and me, folks. They couldn't feed 5,000 people what they had, but God certainly could. They couldn't, folks, in their obedience, then God used them to do the very thing that was impossible to them. What you have missed out on because we have said no to something. Think about what you've missed out on some things when you've told God no. And that someone has asked you to do. You could have done that. After you saw what somebody else did with you, you're like, I could have done that. But you said no. Not only do you miss out on seeing God come through, but so does the person that God had intended to bless through your obedience. God goes on and shows the giver a powerful illustration on what he will get for doing God's will. And in Matthew 14:20, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full and broken pieces that were left over. You see, the disciples picked up 12 baskets, folks. Think about that. They all could have took a basket home. I think God should have made 13 and gave one to the boy. What he's saying here, when you give out, then there will always be enough left over for you. See, we want to hold on to what is ours. But I'm telling you, if you'll give it back to God, there will always be leftovers. Amen. He will never leave you to go hungry, folks. And when you start with a little, God can make it make up for the shortfall that you think you got to hold on to. God loves to use people who understand this kind of principle. And I'm looking at a church today, folks, that God wants you to understand, if you just give me whatever you have, even though you think it's impossible, I'm going to show you what I can do with it today. He says, just let me show you what I can do with your little bit. This is the only one of Jesus' miracles other than the resurrection that was recorded in all four Gospels. And there are many skeptics have come up with all sorts of excuses to try to explain away this miracle. And some say that Jesus' example is sharing the bread. It inspired others to give what they had. Others say that there was more of a symbolic meal and everyone just took a little bit of bread, a little bite of bread, rather than eating their full. But the scripture tells me, it says, and they were satisfied. Amen. There are even some people who claim that Jesus had an extra bread hidden in a cave behind them and just made it look like he was feeding all those people from those loaves and bread. And of course, folks, that is not how the Bible describes it. And unless we are going to accuse Jesus and the gospel writers with deception, we should accept Matthew's presentation here as Jesus performing a miracle over nature, miraculously providing enough food for the multitude from the few loaves and the few fishes at his disposal. You see, if God created the universe out of nothing, folks, then he certainly would have no problem creating more bread and more fish from the already existing. One of the most important principles you will learn in the Christian life is to give things over to God. Hear me what I'm saying, folks. That is one of the most important principles you can learn. Give what you have to God. Give everything you owe to God. Amen. And trust in him with it. Do you have a problem in your life today? I encourage you to give it to God. Do you have an opportunity in your life today? I encourage you to give it to God. Are you concerned about your future today? I encourage you to give it to God. Are you distressed about your past today? I encourage you to give it to God. As these people enter in your life whom you love and care for, give them to God in prayer. Amen. Has God blessed you with something? Committed to God and his glory. Everything you have comes from God. And when you try to hold on to those things for your own purpose, you never discover the full potential you have when you give it over to God instead. I would like us to look at the principle in the light of the miracle of Jesus performed with the loaves and the fishes. Folks, there is so much more that God could do with each and every one of our lives. If we could only learn the simple principle of no matter if it's my talent or if it's my situation, I am going to give it to God. You see, God, the scripture we read said God has compassion on you. The first thing I want you to see from this passage is God's compassion. God has compassion on each and every one of us here today. And if you are going to give over to God, you must first learn to trust God. And the best way you trust God is to see his compassion. That's what Brother Nate was talking about. Amen. You got to love God, folks. Amen. If you say you love God, then you got to trust God. And how can we trust God when we see his compassion toward us? Amen? God has compassion on you, as clearly seen throughout the actions of Jesus in this passage. Jesus needed time to himself. He went off and he was trying to pray. First of all, folks, we see that Jesus needed some time to himself in Matthew 14:13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into the desert place. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Jesus had been busy preaching. He had been busy teaching the people. And when their hearts, when they hear about Herod and the rumors being spread about him, he gets into a boat and he withdraws to this solitary place. And mom and dad, do you ever just sometime need to sneak off from the kids? Huh? They're crying and all of a sudden you see they're busy playing and you go hide off somewhere and you go. Maybe you sit down and you're just like, oh, and you just sit there and you're just wondering, well, how long is it going to take? How long? Maybe you went into the bathroom and you locked the door. Huh? It's the most peaceful place in the house. And you just wondered, how long is it going to take for these kids to find you gone? And you know what? It probably only took a few minutes. Right? Mommy! And before they realized you were missing, they came looking for you. But what that nice few minutes it was. You thank God. You probably had a blowout blessing there and said in prayer, thank you, God. for these few minutes. Well, think about Jesus. He's got this crowd following him everywhere, and he just needed a few minutes away. Jesus withdraws by boat to get some quiet time from this crowd, and the crowd just followed him on foot. I remember my mom used to tell the kids, here's mommy's skirt, get a hold of it. Follow mommy. And Jesus sees this, he's going off trying to get some quiet, and he sees him following him. And when he gets to shore, the crowd is right there waiting for him. So what does he do? Jesus had compassion. He had compassion on these people. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. You see, so much for some quiet time and rest for him, right? So much. When Jesus lands on the sea, the crowd, and he sees this crowd, he sets aside his own plans. And he ministers to these needs of the people instead. Matthew tells us because he had compassion on them. And if you are not a Christian today, do you know what God looks, how he looks at you? Maybe you think God just gets angry with you, or that God desires to punish you, or maybe you think that God doesn't even notice you at all. But the truth is, the God of this universe, God who created everything, the Bible says he is moved with compassion for you. Matthew 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. Folks, God, amen, has compassion on you, and he sees you as sheep in need of a shepherd, and he longs to be that shepherd for you. There's a lot of parallels between feeding the 5,000 here in Matthew 14 and Psalms 23, and the Psalms that begins with Psalms 23:1, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why should I not want? Because he has compassion toward you and toward me. He cares about your needs, folks. He cares about your situation. He cares about your life. In Psalms 23, David describes the Lord as his shepherd who guides him, who leads him to rest, who lays him down in green pastures and provides for all of his needs. And that's exactly what Jesus does for people here in Matthew 14. He has compassion on them. He guides them. He teaches them. He sits down in the green grass and provides for their needs. Are you like a sheep without a shepherd today? You need to know that God has compassion on you, and he offers to be your shepherd. He wants to guide your life, and that's the first thing when we learn from this passage, folks, that God has compassion on you. He loves you, which means you can trust in him with everything you have. See, when God asks you to do something today, you need to understand you can do it. The next thing that we learn from our passage is that when God asks you to do this, he knows you're able to do it. When God calls you, because you know why he knows you can do it? Because he enables you. Amen? When you are not able to do it on your own strength, but with God's help, you can do it. Amen? When God asks you to do it, he would not ask if he knew you couldn't. Scripture says he will not put any more on you than you can bear. And there are a couple things under this point I want you to notice, folks. First off, you have to be aware of people's needs. Hear me. God wants us to be aware of people around us and their needs. I know that's probably a shocker to some of you, but I'm telling you, God wants you to understand these things because he has put his love in you. And when he's put his love in you, he cares for people. And you need to care for people also. You need to care for more than just me, myself, and I, the Holy Trinity, the selfish Trinity. Me, myself, and I is the selfish Trinity. Thank you. God wants us to be aware of people's needs around us. Who's you talking about, Pastor? Your family members, your neighbors, your coworkers, Come on. Where the store you go? You ever ask God, Lord, just help me to love people? Come on. First of all, folks, we need to be aware of people's needs. And God's, his two big commands in the Bible is love God and love people. That's his commands to us. Love God and love people. Well, how can you love people if you don't care? If you don't watch out, if you don't care what's going on in their life? Come on, it's easy sometimes to get frustrated with somebody and get mad at them. But when you find out there's a need going on, oh, you kind of feel bad. I didn't know this was happening. That's why we have to be careful. Love God and love people. So when God asks you to do something, it's most likely have something to do with somebody's needs, with people's needs. Matthew 14:15, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the village and buy themselves some food. See, Jesus already understood this. So when Jesus had been teaching and healing people for some time, and by now it was late in the day, and they were in a far away place, and the disciples realized these people needed to eat. These disciples, they didn't understand God's plan in all of this. You ever been there? God, why am I going through this right now? And you need to say, instead of sometimes complaining about it, you say, God, why am I here in this situation? And here they are. They're in this faraway place. There's no McDonald's or Burger King close by. Or Wendy's. Got to give a plug for Wendy's. There's no place close. And they understood this. But they see, folks, the disciples didn't understand what God's plan was in all of this. But at least they recognized the need. Probably because their stomach was telling them. They were probably really hungry and said, oh, God, we got to feed these people. Please hurry. Huh? This is where mission and ministry begin. When you begin to see needs in other people. And not only yours. Let me tell you something, folks. When you live for God, he's going to ask a lot of sacrifice out of you. How far do you want to go in living for God? How far do you want to be used? How much do you want God to use you? It's never going to happen until you can learn to see the needs of other people. This is where the mission and ministry begin. When you start being aware of people's needs around you and then look for ways to meet those needs. See, what you, instead of going to prayer, say, God, take care of this. You need to say, God, help me to be a blessing to this person. Help me to be a blessing. Use me, God. Understand this, folks. God uses people. He always has. He always will. He wants to work through each and every one of us here today. So if your neighbors are going to be touched, it's going to be because you reached out and allowed God to work through you. If your family is going to be saved, it's because you allowed God to work through you. If your coworkers are going to be saved, it's because God, you allowed God to use you. And there's many things that we've walked away from in life, folks. There's probably many jobs that we've walked away from, and we never did what God wants us to do to reach out to those. So what's going to happen when we stand on the day of judgment? And that person says, why didn't you tell me what you knew? Why didn't you minister to me? Don't let that be said of where you're at now. Talk to those people. Let them read to you. So, remember, folks, we are written epistles read of all men. What are they reading when they look at your life? Understand, that's where ministry begins. When we begin to recognize a need that we know that God can use us to fulfill. Be aware. Get to know the people that God has placed in your life. Whether at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in the community at large, get to know these people that God has allowed you to come across. He's done it for a reason, folks. When you go to work tomorrow, you understand I'm walking in here because this is where God wants me, and God wants to use me here. When you go walk up and down your street and you go get your exercise, you need to understand I'm here for a reason. When you go to your family outings, I'm here for a reason. God has asked you to open your eyes to people's needs and then begin to looking for ways to meet those needs. Be aware of people's needs. Folks, we also need to focus on the task, not on the obstacle. Too often we focus on the obstacle. Focus on that task. Matthew 14, 16 through 17. But Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You see, the disciples recognized the need. They asked Jesus about it. And Jesus told them, you take care of it. You give them something to eat. But instead of saying, okay, show us how, the disciples immediately started raising objections. We can't feed them. We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. See, we can't possibly, God, feed so many with so little. It was an impossible task, folks, and they were focused on the obstacles instead of obedience to God. You see, isn't it easy for us to do that as well? God calls us to do something big, and we reach our community for Christ, and we get all hung up because we are looking at obstacles instead of the task. Remember, when God asks that you do something, you can do it. Otherwise, he would not have asked you. Come on. So we need to bring what you have, whatever it is that you have, whatever talent you have, whatever situation that's holding you back from doing things, give it to God. So what do you do when God asks you to do something that is clearly beyond your means? You need to take it to Jesus. Amen? The disciples told Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What did Jesus say in response? In Matthew 14, 18, he said, bring them hither to me. See, God's, when he tells you to do something, he knows you can do it. He says, give me what you have, and we'll take care of this. But we have to be willing to give it to him. Folks, if you don't have all the necessary resources, then bring whatever resources you have to Jesus. The disciples were focused on what they didn't have. And what they didn't have was enough bread to feed, enough fish to feed this size crowd. And Jesus directed their attention instead of what they did have, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now that doesn't sound like a whole lot, because it isn't, but that's okay. When God asks you to do something, you can do it. Say with me, I can do it. Say it, I can do it. Amen. Be aware of people's needs. Be aware of people's needs. Folks, on the task, not the obstacles. Bring what you have to Jesus. See why? You can do anything with God. Say it with me. I can do anything with God. I can do anything with God. Amen. Because you know what, folks? You can do anything with God. And that's the third point. You can do anything with God. Anything. God has no limits, praise the Lord. God is not confined by your lack of resources. You believe that today? He is not confined by your lack of resources. When God asks you to do something, you can do it because you can do anything with God. Now, please don't misunderstand me here, folks. I'm not saying you can do anything you want with God. Come on. I'm saying you can do anything God wants with you, that God wants you to do. You can do anything God asks you to do. So what do you do when God asks you to do something, but you don't have the resources to do it? Commit it to God. Commit whatever you have today, your talent, your situation you're going through, your troubles, commit them to God. First of all, you commit it to God. you commit. Matthew 14:19, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. You see what happened here? They brought these two fish, or these fish and these loaves of bread to God. And then he says, okay, now you give it to them. So God says, give me your talent. Thank you for giving it to me. Now you take this talent and you go help those people. You see what I'm saying? Give me the situation. I'll take care of the situation. Now you go help these people. He don't want us to just take our talents to him and let him sit there and let him and then sit back here and just keep on doing it. He wants you to take what and do what he asks you. Now we can sit here and we can say, I gave it to God. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with your talent? What are you doing with your situation? He directed the people to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes. And he gave thanks and he broke it. He says, now, here, give it to them. Here's your talent. Now give it to them. Come on. He says, give it to them. The disciples gave what they had to Jesus. Jesus directed the people to sit down on the grass. He took up the loaves and the fishes. He thanked God for it. He broke them. He committed it to God in prayer. We need to do the same. We need to take whatever God has given us, already given us, folks, and commit it to him and trusting him to use it for the purpose that he wants us to use it for. And then let God do his work through you. And when we need to let God do his work, folks, Matthew 14:20-21, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. And here it is, folks, just a few short verses. We finally get to the miracle itself. Everything else was just a prelude to this. Notice that the miracle is described in just a few words. And we're not told how Jesus did what he did or even when the bread began to multiply. Did the people see the bread multiply? Did Jesus just keep breaking pieces of loaves that never got any smaller? We're not told this stuff. But what we are told is that everyone ate their fill. The word satisfied there in verse 42, they all ate and were satisfied. That means they were filled up. It is the word you use to describe yourself after Thanksgiving dinner, filled up, stuffed, and satisfied. And everyone ate until they were full. And even then, there were 12 baskets left over. Let me tell you something, folks. Our God doesn't do anything small. Amen. Hallelujah. They had more food at the end than they had at the very beginning. And Matthew tells us that the number of those who ate were 5,000 men plus the additional women and children who sat there. So even though we call this a miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, there were clearly many more people than that. Who knows? Jesus may have fed as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people that day. This is an amazing miracle, especially when you compare it to the other miracles of the feeding in the Bible, folks. During the time of famine in the Old Testament, the prophets, Elijah fed himself, a widow and her son, all from a single jar of flour and a single jug of oil that didn't run out until the famine was over, and that was a neat miracle. And later on, a different prophet named Elisha fed 100 men from 20 loaves of bread, and they all ate and had some left over. And that was a neat miracle. But Jesus' miracle outshines them all because Jesus fed a crowd of 5,000 men plus the women and children from just five loaves and two fish. And John compares it to God feeding the people of Israel manna in the wilderness. And Jesus used this miracle to present himself as the bread of life that comes down from heaven, folks. What do you do when God asks you to do something that you think you can't do? Give it to God and then let God do his work. Amen, folks. You never know who God is asking you to teach a Bible study, because you may teach a Bible study to one person and maybe a whole family. Amen. In-laws and outlaws and everybody else comes to the Lord. I'm telling you, folks, God doesn't do tiny things, and God wants you to give what little bit you have and let him use you. David had a slingshot and 5 stones when he went up against Goliath. It was not enough on his own, amen, but with God, Goliath went down. You can do anything with God. Anything with God. So what is God asking you to do today? Has God laid a certain ministry upon your heart? Stay with me. Is God calling you to live for him? Have a closer walk with him? Is God calling you to serve or get involved in the church? What needs do you see around you that need to be filled? And maybe you've seen some of these needs for a while, and all is God is waiting for you to bring your gift to him. He says, you're the one I want to use. How might God be asking you to fill those needs? Maybe you don't have the necessary resources to do what God is asking you to do. No matter when God asks you to do something, folks, hear me today, you can do it. Focus on the task, not the obstacles. And bring whatever resources you have, bring them to Jesus today. Because you can do anything with God. Give it to God and let God do his work. I'm asking you today, folks, I'm opening up this altar, and I want you to bring your whatever you have to God. Come on. Bring whatever you have and give it to God today. Say, God, I want to do whatever it is that you've been asking me to do. I'm bringing it to you today, Lord. Here it is. Here's my situation. Here's my talent. It's yours. Maybe you can call out some of those people that God has been dealing with you to talk to, dealing with you to give a Bible study to, and say, God, with you I can teach them a Bible study. With you I can minister. Come on, folks.